podcast and visit bestwi.net.
Tom's been part of his small Wyoming town.
Hey, Tom.
For 30 years. A good neighbor, always ready to lend a hand or fix a fence. But this winter, people noticed he wasn't around much. His yard went quiet. So friends stopped by, knocked on the door, and brought coffee. That visit, that small moment, mattered. Sometimes showing up is the best medicine we have. When someone starts to drift away, check in, ask the question, offer your time. You might be the reason they hold on for another day. If you or someone you know is struggling, call or text 988. Help is here. Hope is here. Wyoming takes care of its own. That's what neighbors do. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Landis with the Wyoming Free Tax Service. Are you looking for free tax preparation? The Wyoming Free Tax Service is here to help you. IRS-certified tax preparers help low- to moderate-income families in Buffalo and Sheridan complete their tax returns. There's no charge for this service. For further information or to make an appointment, call Wendy at 307-710-1022.
If you haven't signed up for the Sheridan Media Newsletter, well, now's the time. You'll find some of the top news stories of the week, community events, local sports, weather, as well as the latest movies from Centennial Theater. What's happening at the Wild Theater? Discover fun facts, local photos and videos, Sheridan history, country bounty links, as well as links to some of your favorite businesses and promotions. It's emailed every Thursday morning. If you don't get the newsletter, you're missing out. Click on the Sheridan Media newsletter button that's on the front of our website at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, March 3rd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Community Foundation Board President Mark Kinner and Board Member Julie Greer. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Thanks for having us.
It is on the way down here. You were talking about how beautiful it is outside. It's one of those winter seasons that I think down in some sort of record book somewhere.
Yeah,
the lack of snow, it just kind of gets to you. Have you been around, talked to some individuals about the weather lately?
Yeah, I guess it seems to be a topic, doesn't it?
I think it's everybody's first topic.
I think it's every. Yeah, it's yeah. Yep. I think yep.
Right, and the lack of snow. It was a couple weeks ago. I visited with a guy that said they drove up, not quite to Park Reservoir. They had to use a track vehicle because you can't, use wheels on red grade yet. But and he said it was dust all the way, except for maybe a little snow in the trees. Now we've had a couple little snows since then, so I'm not sure. But golly, it just looks, so. We're used to seeing tons of snow up there, and
yeah, I'm really holding out for March and April.
I am too. Yes,
really holding out for that.
I'm convinced. Still coming.
Now, for listeners who may not be familiar, what is the Sheridan Community Foundation? How does it serve the community, and what technically is your mission?
Okay, well, great question, Floyd, and we're happy to share with everyone because we're a really new organization, we've within the last year begun a public campaign to tell folks. So this is a great opportunity. We appreciate the chance to tell folks about it. The concept really is, how can we help folks? Well, let me mention our mission.
That's what just going to say.
Okay, why don't you read our mission?
Our mission is to support and strengthen the Sheridan community through charitable giving and philanthropic education.
Yeah.
So there's your launching
and so,
pad.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks, Julie. So charitable giving. We want folks to give to all the nonprofits, to the support the other foundations if they're, in fact, I call them the big five. For example, the hospital, the hub, Volunteers of America, the college, and what's the other big five? Anyway, I apologize if I'm forgetting one out there, but doing great work and also accepting, you know, funds from people to support their missions, right? Well, now, and we'll get into the agency funds here in a little bit, but we believe in helping our nonprofits be as strong as they can be, and mostly on the financial end with endowments, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we want people to give, and we want to encourage with the second part of that, the philanthropy, to give and leave a legacy. And we don't really care, at the end of the day, who receives it. You know, for example, it could be a donation to the hospital foundation, right? Great. I mean, we all need a very solid, you know, a vibrant hospital like we have. And so we want to encourage that. Now, if folks think about, well, you know, I support those here and there, and can I do anything else? Well, we have what we call our community fund, which is all the investment earnings for that will go back to the community in one way or another. And so we've had two opportunities to give out funds, grants, to all of the nonprofits. And we hope to grow that community fund. And so I might just give you two little examples of things that have happened to us. And one of the most wonderful gifts I think that we received was the first time we received a check for $200, and it was not solicited. It was from someone that had been hearing about us, and someone said, "I want to help." Mm. Wow. And that to me was one of our most meaningful gifts, because it was someone that had begun to, you know, hear about us a little bit and said, "I want to try to help make a difference for Sheridan down the road. So here's my $200. And guess what? That was about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And guess what? In the mail recently, we got another check for $200.
That's fantastic.
It's so meaningful. And that's, at the end of the day, everyone that's listening and everyone that's around this area, Floyd, can be a part of it. This is their foundation. It's not ours. It's theirs. It's the community's foundation. Another example that I could mention, and this was an unbelievable gift. After the we had our fundraiser, the fundraising dinner in October that we've talked about, and there we did a nice, nice article in the paper about that fundraising dinner. I received an email. We received an email. I responded from a gentleman that just said, "Tell me more about your efforts." And so I began an email conversation, and he said, "Tell me this, tell me that." And we talked, you know, via email, never a phone call. And wouldn't you know, he said, "I like the mission." He said, "I've been looking for exactly this." He said, "I know there's a lot of good other entities out there and good work that they do. But," he said, "I want to help you in your mission, because I see it as a way to give to the future, to support needs that we don't know right now that will come up in the future." And he said, "I want to meet you right after the 1st of January. And we met for the first time and got to talk in person. And Floyd, he gave us a check for $50,000.
My goodness.
And that, I mean, I about fell off of the chair. I couldn't, I mean, but that was also very meaningful, because he just heard about us. He inquired about us and he said, "Boy, I really like your mission, you know, promoting charitable work and encouraging others to leave a legacy here." And so, wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that something?
What was it, Julie? that brought you to the board? I mean,
that's a good question. I was thinking about that this morning. What is my why?
Yeah.
Because I figured you might
ask
that. What's
the why? Yeah.
Well, I have been the program coordinator at the Center for a Vital Community at Sheridan College for 9 years now. So I could spend all of our time talking about the CVC, but I won't.
It's an amazing organization.
But a third of our work is focused on supporting our local nonprofits. And so the Sheridan Community Foundation, I mean, our missions go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so Amy Albright and I both, I think we were both hoping one of us would at some point be asked. We were so excited when Mark and Jay McGinnis were getting this up and running. And we're both just exceptionally passionate about supporting our local nonprofits and encouraging philanthropy, educating the community about what our nonprofits do. And so it was a natural fit for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, as you're sitting on the board and kind of taking in all the different information from these various nonprofits, working at the CVC for as long as you have, you kind of have a different perspective over nonprofits than a lot of individuals do. If you were to say, what is the one big struggle that they all share together?
Ooh, all of our local nonprofits?
Yes, ma'am. What would you say that was?
Can I offer the first thing
that I popped in my head when you were talking is the difference for me personally, this is not answering your question, in sitting on a foundation board versus a nonprofit board, because I work in nonprofits, support nonprofits. I've been serving on local nonprofit boards for over 20 years. This is my first experience being on a foundation board.
Yeah.
So to get to see the difference, I am enjoying, and there is a lot to learn. But what do all of our local I don't know that it's just, I could probably pick three things. What were you going to say?
Well, and of course, this, I put on my banker hat for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
And my observation is financial stability, you know,
I think,
in order to kind of keep, and that would be one of the top ones.
Maybe it would
not
definitely
the top
be.
One, but maybe, you know, being able to pay for the work that they do, the people that do the work and so on, and to sustain that.
Well, I would say nearly everybody who works for a nonprofit in Sheridan County does it because of a passion.
Yeah.
They're not
getting rich off of it.
And I think something Amy and I see as a big obstacle is that people don't recognize how hard our nonprofit folks work for little salaries.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the term nonprofit that people think, well, they shouldn't be making money, which is a huge fallacy. And so that might be what I would say is the biggest challenge.
Now, just real quick, so I can get this covered. Mr. Kinner, can you give out your contact information? You want people to be able to reach out to you, and I want to make sure that I get that.
Yeah, exactly. And Floyd, as we go, something I want to mention before I move on and perhaps overlook it, we'd be happy to come and visit with folks.
Oh, yes.
If any of the listeners are out there, they're interested in more information or would like to even send in a donation, I'll provide that too. But if anyone has an organization and they would like us to come visit with them and tell us about our mission and how we can help in the nonprofit world, we'd be happy to do that. You know, we haven't started the lunch circuit yet, but we're thinking that we should do that. We appreciate your help here today, helping us, you know, begin to get the word out. But folks can contact us by sending an email, and here's my email address. It's mark@givesheridan.org. mark@givesheridan.org. Here's my cell number if folks would like to visit. It's 307-751-3098. And if any folks have heard about us and and they'd like to send in a donation to us, that would be absolutely wonderful. And
the easiest way to read more is on our website.
Oh, good
or
point,
email
Julie.
Or call Mark. He loves to chat. But if you go to SheridanCommunityFoundation.org, that's our website.
Yep.
You can make a donation right on our website, and you can read about our mission, a lot of our work. You can see all of our board members and just learn a little bit more.
Now, I got to take a commercial break, but before I do, one thing that I did want to go over was the last time I had you on here, we were talking about endowments, agency accounts. Can you tell me what an agency account is and how that benefits nonprofits?
Sure. Good question. And something that is really important to us. So an agency account is a permanent endowment. For us, this is our definition, that has been opened up by a nonprofit. The endowment is permanent. It's not something that can be dipped into if somebody needs a new, vehicle to transport people or something like that. The investment earnings that we take great pride in doing the proper investments for them, and their investment earnings go right back to them to support their operations or whatever their needs might be. And Floyd, being a banker for so many years, I watched so many nonprofits have $20,000 or $30,000, $40,000, maybe sitting in a savings account, maybe sitting in a CD, but really not doing anything and not invested for the long term. And so we've had several folks say, yeah, we want to invest that for a long term. And we're quite honestly trying to help them grow those dollars so that in addition to investment earnings, we try to help promote them as another opportunity for folks out there to give money to support them down the road.
Now, I know there's deep aspects to all of this. But on the surface, this is what I see. This is the permanent mental trust fund for nonprofits. This is an investment.
Oh, that's a great
in your
analogy.
Future, right?
Yeah. Yes. You're exactly right. I mean, that's for our whole state, right?
Right, right.
Well, these are for those individual nonprofits that are out there doing great work and make our community what it is today. And so that's why we feel the need to support them and have them be as strong as they can be. To take care of those needs. And some of them are, very niche-minded, right? For example, Habitat, we have one for Habitat for Humanity, and we know their needs of providing housing for people, right? And so their permanent endowment is designed over time to keep growing, but help to support the operation so they can continue to provide that housing.
I think that's a fantastic idea. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment. More with the Sheridan Community Foundation right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Hi, I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The annual Pheasants Forever Banquet coming up Saturday, March 14th at 6 p.m. at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Bring your friends because the first two kegs are on us. It's a full night of action. Live auction, silent auction, raffle games, and your chance to win gear from the best brands in the business. Support wildlife conservation and let's pack the house. Grab your tickets now at pheasantsforever.org or visit the events page at sheridanmedia.com. Don't miss it, March 14th, 6 p.m. at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds.
Are your taxes still on your to-do list? You're not the only one, but don't worry. HR Block makes filing them fast and never a drain on your time, no matter if you meet with us in person or drop them off. Plus, we're right in the neighborhood, giving you a convenience and confidence to cross those taxes off your list. So let us help lighten the load. Make an appointment at H&R Block today.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Howdy, I'm Jeff Ware from the Sheridan chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, inviting all y'all to our annual banquet on Saturday, April 11th. For information or tickets, please call or text Stacy at 752-2870 or email SheridanRMEF@gmail.com or go to rmef.org, click on events, then Wyoming, and sign up.
I'm on the scene in what used to be a calm, functional kitchen, but behind me, clear signs of cabinet fever.
We tried to ignore them, but they're oak from the 90s.
I can see the symptoms are very clear. Officials say the condition escalates quickly, moving from frustration to obsessive Pinterest scrolling.
Is there any hope?
Yes, there is. The A&B Building's Cabinet Fever Sweepstakes, sponsored by YO3MD and Security State Bank. Residents are encouraged to visit the Sheridan Media Sweepstakes page and enter immediately.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with the Sheridan Community Foundation Board President, Mark Kinner, and Board Member, Julie Greer. Now, right now, you are a fully volunteer board with no staff. How sustainable do you think that model is going into the future? Because it's a very young organization as of right now. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you may have to have someone in there.
Before you answer that question, can I just throw something in there, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
Floyd, and I don't know the answer, but I could make a guess. Do you have any idea how many nonprofits in Sheridan County operate with no staff? Just with a volunteer board.
I really don't. I try to get as many in here as possible.
It's remarkable the amount of work that is done by solely volunteer organizations. It's, you know, the ones that are most recognizable in the community are the ones that have the staff, even a small staff like me and Amy. But I would say well over half of our local nonprofits are operating under the radar, strictly with a volunteer board.
That's incredible.
Now, I assume you're going to say we are not long-term sustainable, and I would agree with you, so give your pitch. But it's just something that people don't know.
Yeah.
How many small nonprofits are out there.
And the testament that gives to people volunteering time.
Yes.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
So, Floyd, I'm going to step back and share just a little bit of a story. So, I'm proud to say, happy to say, one of the original board members that helped start the Sheridan Community Land Trust.
Yes.
And we worked for a lot of years just as a volunteer board. But at one point, we said, we can't do it anymore by ourselves. So we had to consider a part-time person. And so we're in a lot of that same, I see the trajectory very similar to that. And so, but here's also what happens. Being a working board like we are, we want people to help out and to, lift part of the load. Initially, we had people that wanted to join the land trust board, and they wanted to just go to a board meeting once a month. And and it was okay, great people, but they didn't have the time to, do the heavy lifting during the month. And so that's a little of the difference. And so we got to the point where we could hire a part-time person. We've considered that now, do we have enough extra work to do to keep things going? For at least a part-time person. Well, if we do, where does that come from? Well, we're good at fundraising, and we we can raise money for that, and the board members kick in money for that to do that. And then so over time, that's the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And now in terms of long-term sustainability, we think we are, and we were very intentional and purposeful before we even started the effort to visit with several hundred people and say, is this project, this effort to promote and help charitable giving and philanthropy in our community, is that a worthy long-term project? And I'm gonna use this. Julie's heard this, but I used to say, if we crawl up on top of Cloud Peak and we look at this valley, would down the road, 20 years down the road, would this valley look better, and would it be better for those who live here than it is today? And so I used to say that about the land trust. And now when you look at 30 miles of trails and all that, I think you could go up there and say, yeah, I think that's been a good thing in 20 years. It's 20 years this year, Julie, right?
Massive conservation effort.
So I think somewhere down the road, folks could crawl up on top of Cloud Peak and look down there and see our efforts and hopefully say the same thing, that, yeah, our community is stronger and so on. And we do have a few testimonials from some of the donations that we've given out there, and I'll just mention one. The real good folks out in Claremont have a little museum out there, and a year ago we gave a $500 donation to them, and this year one of their members made a point of coming over to me and thanking me so much for that donation a year prior because of what it did for them. They have a museum space there, but they had a dirt floor in their building. And she said that the money that we gave them helped them pour concrete and have a, you know, a better basement, and also provide some shelving where they could store, you know, a lot of their things they're trying to preserve and protect. And she was so excited to have had that $500 gift. Well, it was a nonprofit and an effort that's has kind of, you know, I wouldn't say fallen through the cracks, but it's not out there right in the middle of mainstream, right, mm-hmm. where we see it. And so that's just one little way that we've been able to help. This year when we handed out some of our donations, we tried to focus on a couple of the smaller libraries in the area and help them. You know, great, great things. And so, you know, I don't know. I think I probably got off topic a little bit there.
That's okay. One thing I do want to talk about is the possibility, ideas are getting thrown around for a big community event, looking for organizations, volunteers, funding. You said some ideas are circulating amongst the board, but if anyone has an idea.
Oh, yeah.
Please let us know.
Yeah. We would love to hear from people, because I think, you know, the more heads, the better that think about these things, and we may not. You know, we may not be able to see the forest for the trees kind of thing.
And as you said, this is Sheridan's Community Foundation.
It is. And Floyd, sort of our dream, quite honestly, is to have a community event where we promote the good work of all the foundations. I mentioned a few of them earlier, and all the good work of our nonprofits. And if we could do that and help inform citizens about all that work that they may not be aware of, as you suggested a minute ago, it might provide an opportunity to raise volunteers, certainly to raise friends, and possibly to raise funds. So we haven't come up with the right one yet. Jackson, of course, Jackson is an anomaly, right? But they have a great fundraiser up there.
The old Bills
fun run, and they raise a massive amount of money on one day in one Saturday in September. We don't have any delusions that we could be like that, but we think we could do our Sheridan version of a project, community event.
Now, if someone does have an idea, should they just contact you at the information that you gave earlier?
Yep. And I'm just going to repeat both of those, if that's okay.
Go ahead, please.
Mark@givesheridan.org. And my cell is 307-751-3098. And as Julie pointed out,
our website, SheridanCommunityFoundation.org. And you can contact us through there as well.
If you've got an idea, folks, shoot an email. Give Mr. Kinner a call. This is your community foundation. You can be a part of this. You can help with the future of a lot of nonprofits, a lot of foundations out there that are doing great work within the community. Despite a lot of my efforts, I don't get all of the nonprofits on the show. There's a lot of people out there working very hard to make tomorrow a better place. I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show this morning. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Floyd. You too. Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the director and the cast of the Civic Theater Guild's production of Steel Magnolias. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, and long drives down the fairway? So are we. Get ready for the 2026 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted Bass is now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanWY.net through March 31st. Yep, the grass will be greening up before you know it. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Hi, it's Dan with Captain Clean, and furnaces are working overtime. Replacing your furnace filter routinely is essential to keeping your air clean and furnace operating effectively. In addition, it's recommended you have your furnace and ductwork professionally cleaned every 5 to 10 years. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 for a free HVAC cleaning estimate, and have our certified and experienced staff take a look at your system. Call Captain Clean today. Affordable choices for healthy living.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial grade R panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact resistant 24 gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Hi folks, this is Chris Hayden from your locally owned Sheridan Motors. When it comes to your vehicle, trust matters. That's why at Sheridan Motors, our factory trained GM and Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram technicians know your vehicle inside and out. Whether it's a recall or routine maintenance, we use the latest diagnostic tools in our state-of-the-art facility to get the job done right the first time. And to make it even easier, we offer free local pickup and delivery for any needed services. No hassle, no stress. Sheridan Motors, local people, expert service, and care you can count on. Stop by or call us today.
What do you like about the Home Builders Home and Garden Show?
It's an opportunity to get out of the house.
I'm trying to get some landscaping ideas.
I like seeing new building trends.
Flooring to foundations, landscaping to cabinetry. You'll find it all at the Home and Garden Show, March 13th through the 15th at the Ramada Plaza. Brought to you by the Bighorn Home Builders Association of Sheridan, whose members are committed to promoting the highest standards in the building industry.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
In a world where honor is earned in the arena, the Knights of Valor return once more. On July 25th, the Sheridan County Fairgrounds will transform into a battleground of courage, the class of steel, thundering hooves, and a full-day Renaissance fun for the whole family. Prepare for heart-pounding jousts, heroic feats, and a day steeped in legendary adventure. Tickets go on sale May 1st. Save the date and witness the return of the Tournament of Knights.
We'll be right back.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. The Civic Theater Guild has been working to bring the community a production of Steel Magnolias. The story centers on the bond between six Southern women in Louisiana as they navigate life, love, loss, and mortality. Set largely in a beauty parlor, the story follows Shelby's struggles with her health, her marriage, and motherhood. I am joined this morning by director Jennifer Smith and cast members Teresa Garrett Martin, playing Mullen, and Kathy Pavitt?
Pavitt,
playing Claire?
Clary.
All right. Good morning, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I'm in the wrong business to not be able to read names.
That's okay.
Now, Jennifer, when we look at the production, why was this chosen to be a part of the season?
Well, I am not sure why the committee, the Civic Guild committee, I don't know what the...
The board.
Thank you. That's the word. Okay. I don't know exactly why they chose that show. I do know that after being in a couple of productions in the community and then in Vagina Monologues directed by Kathy Lundgren, she inspired me to say, I want to direct. And even working with Aaron Odom, I was like, I think I want to do this. And so I think I put a bug in Aaron's ear, and I had said that I was in Steel Magnolias in college. That might have sealed the deal. But I think that this was something, this play is a classic. This is a beloved play. It's a timeless play. So I'm sure they were waiting to restage it, just because it's fantastic. It's just a great play.
It's centering in a beauty parlor among six Southern women. I'm going to guess this is a pretty dialogue-heavy production.
Dialogue and laughter-heavy production, yeah.
So if you were to think back to the moment, I imagine it was probably Aaron who called you and said, hey, you want to direct this?
Oh, I was thrilled. And it didn't have anything to do with the actual play, even though I love the movie, I love the play. My experience in college with the women that I worked with was so profound. It was beatific. And I was stoked to get to be the curator of that opportunity for another cast. That was really, so it's really been the process rather than the product. That said, the product is amazing.
Any apprehensions?
None.
Beforehand?
None. Oh, no.
You were like, I am ready. Put the clipboard in my hand and get out of my way.
Oh, no, not ready at all. No, I have a brilliant stage manager, actually assistant director, and James is fantastic, and he has been a lifeline because he has so much tech experience. I've only ever acted, so I had a lot to learn. Luckily, I'm pretty good at saying I don't know.
Yeah.
And these people have so much, there's so much experience on this cast, not just, you know, but it's been wonderful.
How much of your experience as an actor have you pulled from to direct?
Oh, I think it's been wholly from an actor. I don't have the tech experience, but I've really, I was a teacher too for a long time, and I've always been very learner centered, and I want the person in front of me to feel respected, and the people that I work with, especially if I have control over their lives, I want them to know that, you know, they're real people. They're not just, you know, pawns to move on a stage.
Yeah. As an actor yourself, something that I ask most directors who come on this show, is there a character you have in mind, or do you allow me to find that character?
I think you'll have to ask my actors that question. I'd like to be able to answer a certain way, but they're going to be more honest.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's ask the actors or actresses. Teresa, what made you want to be a part of this production? What was it when the audition bill went out? You were like, that's it. I want it.
It was just by happenstance that I saw
the posting on Facebook. And it was this magical period of time in my life where I actually had the time to consider doing it. And I've told the ladies this, where I actually sat in my car on the audition night for about a half an hour, kind of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth of whether or not I had the time and could I commit and be whichever role, if I was blessed to get one, if I could commit to that and give it everything. And So I was like, okay. And then somebody saw me and I got out of the car and I went, okay, I'm going in.
You got billed out. Oh,
I did.
Here.
Yeah, I was like, okay, here we go. And I just went in and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And I pretty much left everything on the plate at the audition. And I went, okay, I did my best. What happens, happens. So,
yeah.
And then the story is just phenomenal. I mean, it's an all women's cast, which can be challenging in and of its own right. But this has been a fantastic experience. I wouldn't trade a day for it.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to your character, mm-hmm. Mullen, mm-hmm. How did you approach developing the character itself? Did you do a lot of pre-research, or did you just decide, you know what, I'm going to let the script do the talking?
Well, here's a funny story. I work in the mental health field. So my character, Mullen, also works in the mental health field. She's a mother. I'm a mother of four. So I had a lot of personal experience that I could draw from. And I have special needs kids. So in some ways, Shelby is very much a special needs child as well. So having that to pull from, but also to be able to step into somebody who's a little bit prim and proper and has all these expectations that society and what she puts on herself as a mother, and especially in the time period that this is set in.
Those internal pressures.
Mm-hmm. And trying to maintain this outward shell is a big part of Mullen. So
I think so many women out there right now can identify with exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the struggles of a day by day.
Yeah.
Almost no matter the situation. But then when I walk out that door, I've got to give the perception that everything is under control. There's no chaos. There's no remorse or anything past that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you were born to play this.
Was I typecast, Jennifer?
I did not know any of these women before.
There you go, typecast. Now, if you were to say that there were layers of her personality that you had to really look at, would you say that, or would you say, you know, it did or is just coming so naturally?
There are parts that come naturally, absolutely, but exploring the depth of grief that she has to do, it's a death of a child is not something that I have experienced myself. I've had death occur in my life, but I think there's something very primal about the death of a child.
Great word.
That I've done a lot of just kind of sitting with it and trying to imagine what that would feel like and how I would respond to that, especially, and then how Mullen would respond to that is probably where I've spent a good majority of my focus.
It's such a pivotal moment within the story, and mm-hmm. and it is, as you said, primal. That pain and having to, I guess you could, well, act it. It's got to be so tough.
It is.
Yeah.
She is literally shaking at the end of the scene.
Yeah.
She's so emotionally invested in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kathy, what was it that inspired you to jump in? Just
the love of the story, you know. And I kind of stumbled on it, too, to try out. I had been involved in Christmas with the Kendricks at Trail End. And one of the other actors said, hey, they're having Stias. There's tryouts for Steel Magnolias. Anybody going to try out too? And I was like, well, maybe. And I thought about it a couple of days and I thought, yeah, I'll give it a try. And we had about a 2-day tryouts. And after the first day, I was like, I don't think I'm going to go back for the second day. I was just felt so intimidated by the process and And I thought, no, I'm going to see it through. I'm going to go back the second day and just put everything I could into it. And I said, whatever happens, happens.
Own it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get up there and I'm going to own it. Yeah. That's fantastic. So you, just to get to this point, you've already had to dig deep. And,
yeah,
and
a lot of self-doubt, you know, you just have to overcome that. And
well, I think a lot of people out there are listening to your words right now, and they've thought that same thing. I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah.
But then that self-doubt stops them. It becomes that hurdle they can't get over.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that you have stepped up. You jumped your hurdle. You're here
now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, tell me about Clary. Who is this character? And how did you find her?
Well, she's got a lot of sass, a lot of spunk. Anytime things get a little too serious, she's always finding a way to lighten the mood.
I think everybody needs that in their life.
Yeah, yeah. She's a recent widower. You know, the story starts out in the spring, and she's just lost her husband in November, and so she's dealing with that transition in life and figuring out, who am I now? What's life going to look like for me?
What's my identity away from the marriage?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, how can you show that to an audience? I guess my question is, how can you show the uncertainty of such a thing to an audience, especially when you're delivering some of the sharpest wit in the whole play?
Well, there's lines that she delivers that, you know, reflects on, you know, the times with her husband, and but she's also looking for ways to move forward, and you know, how does she rely on support of friends to help her move on and make a new life?
Yeah, some of that sharp wit, you can sit back and go, okay, that came from a place of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being able to kind of show people that, that's got to be a major challenge. Now, when it comes to wardrobe, tell me about wardrobe, because I'm thinking Southern women in the summer.
Well, the play has four different scenes, and the four scenes each represent a different season, though not in order, because it's staggered as far as the scenes. Like one is like 18 months later or whatever. And even though, so there is, I mean, we do nod to the seasons. They're in sweaters in wintertime and cooler clothes in summertime. But we didn't go overboard with the 80s thing. I mean, it is technically set in the 80s, but I didn't want it to be a caricature. Didn't want it to be, I didn't want that to detract from what we were doing, because I didn't, in no way should this be cartoony.
Absolutely.
There's so much laughter, but it's an intimate laughter. It's not
well, as you said, a caricature.
Right. It's not,
you know,
a caricature.
Somebody goes there and then they sit in the audience and they think, wow, just see all those 80s get ups. You know, you don't want that to be the main focus. It should just be the sprinkles on the cake, not even the frosting. Yeah, it's there, but it's just dressing. It's not really going to add any flavor.
One thing that we did that was really fun as far as character development, I mean, it was fun for me, is we got the characters up, and it was actually, we'd have more than six people in our cast. We have understudies too. And it's been incredible. We have actually two performances that are understudy showcases. They're the Thursday night performances. And I definitely want to encourage people to see those, because if you see a Thursday night performance and then a Saturday night performance, they're both going to be amazing, and they're going to be different, and they're going to be rich and glorious and all that. But anyway, we had one of these activities where I had the characters get on stage and say, you know, who has the biggest arc during this play? Who changes the most? And then who's the most tragic character?
Mm-hmm.
Who changes the least? And that was such an interesting discussion, watching these women talk about these characters, and okay, so what is this? You know, it was really, I thought that was a lot of fun. And I think that it gave some insight. I hope that it gave insight to the actors as to how the nuances that come with the lines and how they are said differently.
And it's those little things
Yes.
that people don't even notice that they notice until they're not there, right? And then someone says, wow, that was too deadpan or whatever. Now, I've run out of time with you. How do, where and when can I see these?
We open Friday night. We open Friday. So it's Friday, Saturday, and then a Sunday matinee. And then next week, it'll be Thursday with our understudy showcase, Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee. And then the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee, we've got 15 performances. I am sure we're going to sell out, even though we do have 15 performances. I'm sorry I don't have the number dates on that.
That's okay. I'll get them up for everybody.
Thank you.
Where do I get those tickets?
Yotheater.com.
Fantastic. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. I love talking to actors. I love talking to directors. The creative process fascinates me. Everybody's is different. And I greatly appreciate you sharing yours with me today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for an awesome career with great pay and benefits? Do you have skills in carpentry, plumbing, and electrical? Do you like operating heavy equipment? Sheridan County has the immediate opening for a full-time airport operations technician, and they'd like to talk with you. Find out more today on the Sheridan County website, then send your resume and cover letter to humanresources@sheridancountywi.gov. Or mail it to 224 South Main, Suite B1, today.
Unlikely friends, the excitable hare, and the wise tortoise meet for the greatest race on Earth in the joyful stage adaptation of Aesop's beloved fable as it bursts into life across the Y.O. Theater stage Sunday, March 8th at 4 p.m. The hare and tortoise explores friendships, opposites, and growing up, while reminding us that slow and steady can sometimes win the day. Get your tickets for the hare and tortoise, available now at the Y.O. box office or online at yotheater.com.
To really enjoy Wyoming's outdoors, it helps to have skills. If you, your family, or 12 to 15-year-old wants to learn hunting, fishing, and outdoor skills, consider one of the camps offered by the Wyoming Game and Fish this summer. Applications for 2026 camps are on the Game and Fish website beginning January 1st. Learn the basics of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors in the midst of spectacular scenery. There's youth camps, camps for women, and camps for families. The Game and Fish website has details. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Let this be the day that I learn the secret. A family that lives forever. A spring that stops the clock. Imagine the price the world would pay for a single drop.
Winnie Foster. Imagine it. No growing up, no goodbyes. Just every tomorrow you could ever dream of.
But Jesse...
Find out what happens when time stands still. Tongue River High School presents Tuck Everlasting.
Performing March 12th, 13th, and 14th at 6 p.m. in the Tongue River High School Auditorium.
Grab your tickets at the Tongue River High School office or through the TRHS website.
Don't fear death, fear an unlived life.
Tuck Everlasting is presented by arrangement with Concord Theatricals. Book by Claudia Shear and Tim Federle. Music by Chris Miller. Lyrics by Nathan Tyson. Based on the novel Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt.